Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now the 20th of June and we are set for the hottest day of 2025. You heard the woman, 29 degrees, mostly in the Midlands, I believe, around about 3 o'clock today. So wear your sunscreen and enjoy the Scorchio if you can. Use your sweaty paws to mash out messages to us on your devices in the usual way. On the WhatsApp, that's 087 032 32 32. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. A massive weekend of entertainment in music and rugby and GAA, mostly in Dublin, but all around the place, hurling and football. And the Lions season in rugby begins with a match against Argentina this evening. And it's a match that's finally sold out after a very slow start. Then he managed to fill the place just yesterday afternoon. So some relief there in Rugby HQ. In the GAA, Galway and Dublin are both involved in football and hurling, although Galway fans, I believe, have to travel half the country to see both. Although rarely in Galway do they go to see both. This is the hurling side there in the east and football elsewhere. And it's all going to be on the television anyway. The Lions game is Éireann Telefiche, Le Tigi Cathair, Beo Anocht. And the match of the weekend, undoubtedly in the hurling, Tipperary versus Galway. So that's the big one to be watching out as well. Zach Bryan, meanwhile, is in the Phoenix Park for 3 nights with everyone travelling into the city from far off regions where country pop is king in the beautiful weather. What's not to get excited about? And if you're going into the darkness because the movie's the place for you, the release of the weekend is the third installment of Danny Boyle's zombie masterpiece 28 years later, which is getting awesome reviews everywhere this morning as well. So that's big weekend of entertainment in June. Midsummer weekend at that. The summer solstice indeed over the weekend too. And on today's show, Katie Boyle is a comedian. She's going to be our visiting critic this morning. She's a leak slip woman and she's been building a big successful comedy career in New York as an Irish gal for the last 10 years or so. She'll be talking to us about that. But she, as ever, a visiting critic, will be reviewing the experience we sent her on, which was face yoga, which can seem a little bit silly initially until you discover that a lot of people do it as an alternative to injecting their faces with poison to freeze it and stop the wrinkles. And it can also help with troublesome sinuses, we're told as well. So we'll chat to Katie about everything. And hopefully later on I'll be talking to a young woman in Manchester whose parents inspired her to make a podcast about the Irish diaspora in that city across the water from us. Because in the late 19th century, I think about 20% of Manchester's population was purely Irish, and the threads of it are still there to this day. And there are more people who left, of course, in the 20th century and on that immigration story goes. And Manchester, we do identify, don't we, as a very Irish city alongside Liverpool, Birmingham for a long time too, but less so these days for whatever reason. Loads of curiosity is happening in the world. 51551 is the text. The London Times this morning is asking the question, will the BBC show Kneecap's Glastonbury set, which is next weekend, 8 days away, will they show it on TV live in full, incendiary comments and all? As the rapper Mokhara is released on bail from the Old Bailey in London and he wore in a keffiyeh, they are reporting here is an important point in the London Times, to his hearing after being accused of displaying a flag in support of Hezbollah. The 4 o'clock Saturday set for the Irish rap trio is going to be a huge draw at the festival. They say Kneecap's ever-increasing profile makes them now the most controversial band in music since the Sex Pistols. But it puts Glastonbury 2025 into an unusual position. And they're saying just as the festival in recent years was accused of drifting towards kind of like, you know, the namby, very lightweight mainstream stuff with pop stars like Charlie XCX getting top billing. Now it's more politicised than ever before. It is like the 60s and 70s glory days for those big festivals years ago. Much of it is down to a particularly volatile period in world history, and they point out that Kneecap is a cause célèbre with acts from Fontaine's DC, Massive Attack, CMAT offering their support and saying that rather than being terrorist sympathisers, Kneecap are just flying the flag for humanitarianism, not the literal flag metaphorically. Support for Kneecap will be immense, and they have a quote from the BBC saying the BBC does not ban artists, a spokesperson said. Our plans will ensure our programming will meet our editorial guidelines, which sounds ominous. Decisions about our output will be made in the lead up to the festival. But it's a huge thing after the sudden departure of Gary Lineker. The pressure on BBC next week is going to be huge. They also have Neil Young, who's one of the big headliners at Glastonbury, and he's very much kind of like mind in these issues. A month ago, after President Trump railed against Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift, Neil Young wrote, "What are you worrying about, man? Bruce and thousands of musicians think you are ruining America. You worry about that instead of the dying kids in Gaza. That is your problem." So it's going to be a very different weekend next weekend. Speaking of the Middle East, Benjamin Netanyahu has stirred the ire and derision of Israelis on the Hebrew language internet, it says in The Guardian. At the height of the Israel-Iran conflict that Netanyahu began himself this day last week, he has stunned Israelis, describing and bemoaning the personal cost of the war to him. And they're going, he pointed to his own family's sacrifice amid the blood, toil, tears and sweat of his nation. What is he talking about? The second postponement of his son's wedding. The stunning comments added grist to the arguments of his critics that the Prime Minister of Israel is increasingly cut off emotionally from the daily realities of Israel and the entire Middle East region after 17 years in office. Seeking to underline his family's shared hardship with ordinary Israelis, Netanyahu adopted a Churchillian tone, pointing out this was not the first time his son Avner's wedding was postponed and that his fiancée was also disappointed, not to mention the thwarted mother of the groom, who is Netanyahu's wife, Sarah. The quote is, "It reminds me of the British people during the Blitz. We are going through a Blitz," he said, referring to obviously the Nazi bombing of Britain. 43,000 people died in the Second World War in the London Blitz. And he says, "There are people who were killed, families who grieve loved ones. I really appreciate that," he went on and on. The Israeli authorities have said 24 Israeli civilians have so far been killed in Iranian missile strikes. And of course, as we know, more than 55,000 people have died in Gaza in that war that was started by Hamas. But extraordinary thing. There is no election, by the way, in Israel until October of next year. So quite a way to go. Now, world affairs as well. If you're travelling to the US, particularly for the youngsters, well, they'd be gone on their J1s by now. But it was June. Maybe June is the D. This is why this is why Ella Sloan is writing this article in the Irish Times. Here is how to detox your device. It's all about the digital footprint that everybody leaves now. And there are warnings, of course, of US border control services. And she's offering simple steps to clean up your digital footprint. Ella says, "Recent developments allow for customs and border protection agents to carry out searches of mobile phones at checkpoints. It was announced yesterday. Students will be asked to unlock social media profiles to allow officials to review their online activity before being granted educational and exchange visas." This is now normal. Failing to do so means you're suspected of hiding activity from the officials. And among the reasons for checks being carried out are any indications of hostility towards the citizens, culture, government institutions or founding principles of the United States. Culture is a very open-ended one. And the online forums are blowing up with questions about how you sanitise devices and digital footprints in advance of your visa requests or indeed going into the country. The tips on your way into the country is to consider deleting any social media posts that raise red flags. Out of sight, out of mind. Don't underestimate the power of a printed boarding pass. Carry the travel documents with you in paper format. Turn your phone off and stow it away in your bag or your pocket before approaching a customer or border patrol agent. Expert suggestions range from pre-screening, making modifications to your smartphone, including deleting, criminalizing all the incriminating photos, messages and inessential apps. Some people say invest in a clean travel device, just have a complete phone that's totally wiped. But Ella says that would kind of raise suspicions that a too squeaky clean phone would arouse suspicion, doing more harm than good. Of course, the other idea not mentioned here is don't travel to the United States at the moment. It's a tough place to be in. Airfares, by the way, are coming down because so many European travellers are not travelling to the US. So there is a temptation to go there but not coming down very much. I think the most I saw was about 13%. And that is for the forward travel in July. And it's mostly the cheapest flights, apparently, are in Atlanta, Georgia to London, 55% down on this time last year. Extraordinary. And there are lots of Speaking of looking at our digital footprint, of course, we've heard that story. Sky Ireland is now set to use private investigators to monitor WhatsApp chats to detect who is buying dodgy boxes. It's a significant escalation. We heard in the High Court yesterday that they revealed a major part of detecting activities of what they called a top-level dodgy box operator came from checking social media accounts. Now they say they're going to target WhatsApp groups. They're end-to-end encrypted. I'm not sure how they do that. And the Data Protection Commissioner says it's going to meet Sky Ireland to discuss whether such methods are actually legal under the GDPR privacy laws that fall under the EU. It's all about the personal data because they said they're going to target. Sky says considering civil action against individual users for the first time. And the the Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, says that Gardaí consistently declined to pursue individual customers of so-called dodgy boxes, reserving action for the commercial operators and distributors of the services who are making all the money. The illegal streaming devices, sometimes accessed from Amazon Fire Sticks or Android set-top boxes, involve monthly subscriptions to these illegal resellers of the services, 5 and 15 euro a month for legal access to premium sports and activities, but Sky is catching up with them and Sky is going to step up the enforcement. And it says an array of sporting organisations and broadcasters, the GAA Clubber, which streams the club matches and so on, and Premier Sports said they will support Sky's current enforcement activities. So that's what's going on. And speaking of these surveillance bros, there's a tech billionaire in the Telegraph this morning. His name is Pavel Durov. He is the guy who owns the controversial messaging app Telegram, very popular in Russia and among the American right-wing activists as well. And he says he's going to leave all of his children basically a fair share, equal share of his fortune. He's worth $17 billion and he's a self-exiled Russian tycoon, Pavel Durov, who owns Telegram. And he's going to leave it between his biological children and dozens of others conceived through sperm donations. He says, I want to specify, I make no difference between my children, those who were conceived naturally and those who come from my sperm donations. They are all my children, will have the same rights. He previously said he's been donating sperm for 15 years and has fathered 100 children in 12 countries through this practice. Last year, a clinic in Moscow advertised its supply of the tech tycoon sperm, offering free IVF for women willing to have a child with what they said was one of the most famous and successful entrepreneurs of our time. The children would stand to make $170 million each, all 100 of them. But he's 40 years of age at the moment and he looks to be in good shape because he's in the gym all the time. He's nothing to do. The billionaires of smart technology ushering in this great age of stupidity. What's wrong with them? Get them all on a mission to the moon. Carry on. Back home, of course, our very sensible First Citizen, the great Christy Moore, friend of the programme, of course, has released a spoken word tribute track for President Michael D. Higgins as he nears the end of his second term. The presidency is actually more and more in the news at the moment, though there's no sign of any kind of much sign of a campaign, is there? It's called Music to Our Ears and was written by poet Johnny Broderick, produced by Gavin Murphy. And a warning that the poem does praise the present. Here's a clip.
Music to our ears. There is an aura that surrounds you. With decency, you're blessed. There's a warmth in your presence for every welcome guest. You're a voice for the voiceless, like thunder in the plain. An empathetic ear for the afflicted. Selfless, humble, never vain.
Man, Christy. Never vain. Never vain. That's my favourite bit. Absolutely. Christy says, I think it's a beautiful tribute to our esteemed president and his family. I think Johnny B's words express what many of us feel about Michael D and our First Lady, Sabina. I'm sure the Uachtaráin would very much approve of this. The election, by the way, due in October or November. I think it has to be by the 11th of November at the latest. And we were expecting kind of a savage campaign to be up and running by this stage, but absolutely nothing. I mean, by this stage, usually you'd have the first few candidates utterly destroyed in a vicious campaign. But we're in for a dud one this year, that's for sure. Who's up for repealing the 12th? Article 12 of the Constitution, term limits the president. Just leave him there. The never vain Uachtaráin. Leave him in. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has said he's been told, this is a report yesterday, if someone was going to run for president, they wouldn't declare until the end of August. That's no good to us. potential candidates are wary of the intense press scrutiny that comes in presidential elections in terms of going for that. It's very vicious. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach Simon Harris told Claire Byrne yesterday very quickly, he said to general people now that the longer list of people have ruled themselves out, that I think it's being president of Ireland is a job many people would like. But being a presidential candidate perhaps isn't as attractive. Well, if you're not in, you can't win. You'd need a big surprise now, wouldn't you, to make it interesting at all? Like, I don't know, Mary Lou just going in for it, like Bertie running for it. Well, he's far too clever to run, isn't he? Was that quote that Charlie Hawley? Are we not allowed to say that quote anymore, are we? No, we're not. Okay, let's get on with business, shall we? It's 20 past nine in the morning. Need a bit of a tune. 5-1-5-5-1. This is Sunny and Up for the Crack. Good morning, it's Friday. Come on.